The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I'm back in the Edstone studio after 3.5 weeks over in Edmond. Lots and lots of activity crammed into that 3.5 week period. We had a 5-day ministerial conference that a number of us were able to participate in, and I also was able to greet my nephew's newborn into the world, a day old. Got to visit with her just a day after her birth. Visit, by that I mean look at her, I guess. She was wide awake when we got to see her as a family. I also got to see, as I mentioned, while in Edmond, I got to see the new Gulfstream 450, just a towering airplane. At least compared to some of the other aircraft that were in the hangar when we viewed it, just an incredible tool that God has made available to His church. Yet another piece in the Raising the Ruins building, as I covered a couple of days ago. Yet another piece following in the tradition, following that same pattern established by Herbert Armstrong. While I was in Edmond, also, we were able to see some of the best step dancing in the world down at New Orleans, the U.S. Nationals that went on for a couple of days there. More recently, of course, I think I mentioned this on Monday when I was in Edmond, Samuel's wedding, Sam and Brooke. Sam, of course, is our producer here most of the time for this program here in the Edstone studio. So we'll be anxious to receive him back from his honeymoon here in the next few days. And, of course, while I was in Edmond, too, I caught up on a lot of meetings, caught up with lots of friends and family. And through it all, of course, lots of people were filling in, helping to fill in on radio. And also with the trumpet briefs. Those kept going for the most part. We might have missed a few days here and there. But in getting back to Edstone yesterday afternoon and then just getting back into the news and even listening to catching up on some of the programs and the trumpet briefs, there certainly is always a lot going on. On today's show, by the way, we will jump back into some of the news items. Yesterday's program by Richard Palmer, that was an excellent program, one that you have to kind of have a map of Europe nearby so that you can go over all that that is covered on that show. And of course, it's educational, but it's also inspiring too, because as Richard brought out, I think about midway through the program, really so much of what we're seeing happen today, it's something that was prophesied thousands of years ago and, of course, talked about by Herbert Armstrong decades ago. So if you haven't seen that or heard that program, rather, go to thetrumpet.com and listen to that Trumpet Daily Radio show from yesterday. Later on in this show, we'll also be catching up on some of the comments that have been coming in response to the program, in response to our trumpet briefs as well. Well, speaking of the trumpet brief, I just want to begin this segment by reading from the opening lines of yesterday's trumpet brief. This was put out by Joel Hilliker. And he says here, like children, modern society increasingly exalts feelings over facts. Having discarded moral absolutes, it's now jettisoning all absolutes, true, false, good, evil, love, hate, hero, villain, male, female. All these things, it says, can supposedly be redefined at will. And Mr. Hilliker writes here, along with concepts like family and freedom, they can simultaneously mean contradictory things, like contradictory things to different people or to the same person at different times. All you need to do, he says, is to abandon all sense. He says, finally, this disdain for truth takes many appalling forms. Sometimes, though, it can be somewhat comical, except for the fact that it has real-world consequences in the lives of real people. Indeed, at times. I mean, you see headlines that they do seem comical. They seem like they're out of The Onion or something like that. But they, as he brings out, they have real-world consequences in the lives of real people. I mean, this impacts people. This affects our daily lives. There was a piece in Christianity Today about this evangelical Christian group that is up in arms because of something that's happened right here in the UK. In London, the decision to replace ladies and gentlemen announcements in the London Underground with something that's more gender neutral. I mean, they can't even say ladies and gentlemen anymore. It says Mark Evers, who heads, well, it quotes this this Christian group that says this is a dangerous direction we're headed in. And of course, they're right. But then it quotes from Mark Evers, who heads customer strategy at TFL, that's the London Underground. He said that they want everyone to feel welcome on the transport network. And so they're doing away with ladies and gentlemen announcements, because everyone's got to feel comfortable. Everyone has to feel welcome. He said this to Christianity Today: we have reviewed the language that we use in announcements and elsewhere, and will make sure that it is fully inclusive, reflecting the great diversity of London. London's so diverse now. They're so inclusive. They're so tolerant that you can't even hear an announcement that says, ladies and gentlemen. Last month, the article says, TFL celebrated London Pride by transforming parts of the transport network with a new rainbow design created especially to raise awareness and show support for LGBT. And so these are the great causes of our day. More rights for the LGBT community, and just a removal, just a, well, the common sense, it's out the window. Another article here from the Daily Signal. It says here, transgender politics have taken Americans by surprise and caught some lawmakers off guard. I mean, it's just happening so fast in the last couple of years. I mean, not that long ago, it was about same-sex marriage. That's old news now. That's old news. It says here, just a few short years ago, not many could have imagined a high-profile showdown over transgender men and women's access to single-sex bathrooms in North Carolina. I mean, who could have imagined this just a few years ago? And yet, these are the hot-button issues of today. It says, but transgender ideology is not just infecting our laws. It's intruding into the lives of the most innocent among us, children. And with the apparent growing support of the professional medical community. Everyone's on board with it. I mean, now we've got to educate our children in these new standards of morality. If you can even call it that. There are no standards. Anything goes. And we're trying to educate our children in this Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle. We're trying to educate our children in these ways of the devil. It says, as explained in the 2016 peer-review article, Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate, it says, professionals who dare to question the unscientific party line of supporting gender transition therapy will find themselves maligned and out of a job. It says the transgender movement has gained legs in the medical community and in our culture by offering a deeply flawed narrative. The scientific research and facts tell a different story. But see, like Mr. Hilliker brought out in his trumpet brief yesterday, you can't let the facts get in the way of a feel-good story. Never mind the facts. Let's just make sure that no one's feelings are hurt. Let's just make sure that everyone feels good. Look at this piece from the Los Angeles Times. It says here, Nevada officials have declared a state of emergency over marijuana. There's not enough of it. It says, since recreational pot became legal 2 weeks ago, retail dispensaries have struggled to keep their shelves stocked and say they will soon run out if nothing's done to fix a broken supply chain. I mean, Nevada's running out of marijuana and the shops are panicking because the lines are growing. The lines are getting longer. It says here, we didn't know the demand would be so intense. According to the co-founder of Las Vegas Relief, that's R-E-L-E-A-F, all of a sudden you have like 1,000 people at the door, he said. We have to tell people we're limited in our products. They can't keep marijuana on the shelf long enough. Now that it's been made legal, everybody wants it. And again, you talk about comical headlines that you would read at The Onion. Nevada running out of weed and declaring a state of emergency? Seriously? From Fox News, it says the Nevada Tax Commission said in a statement that it will consider emergency regulations on July 13 to provide a structure for marijuana distribution to retailers. It says further on, based on reports of adult-use marijuana sales already far exceeding the industry's expectations at the state's 47 licensed retail marijuana stores, the reality that many stores are running out of inventory, the department must address the lack of distributors immediately. This is from a statement coming from the Nevada Tax Commission. They're desperate. It's a state of emergency. We've got to get more marijuana on the shelves. So these are the hot button issues of today. All of this nonsense, like Joel Hilliker brought out at the beginning of his trumpet brief. In that brief, he goes on and talks about the push for raising the minimum wage and how it's having the opposite effect that many of the lawmakers intended for it to have. It's actually leading to more unemployment. It's actually leading to low-skilled workers getting less in their paychecks. But never mind any of that. We've got to keep doing it because it feels good. It sounds good. It sounds good that poor people will make more money. And on and on and on it goes. Look at what the leaders in our society today are fighting for. I mean, look at what they're discussing. Look at the important topics of the day. I get an email alert every morning in my email box with so many of the, it's kind of an American-centric source, but giving me the rundown on what's covered on American television news the night before. And we rely upon this to create some of our sound bites that you often hear on this program. But more and more, I mean, there's just nothing of value, at least given what's reported on today in the United States, on Fox, on CNN, on MSNBC, on all of the talk shows. They're caught up on so many, well, just obsessed, really, with scandal after scandal or perceived scandal. And then you see headlines like this, a state of emergency in Nevada because of marijuana, a shortage of marijuana. About 20 years ago, I think we've quoted from this a few times in the trumpet over the years. This was at the end of the 1990s, following then President Clinton's impeachment trial. Back in 1999, there was this leader of the Conservative Free Congress Foundation, this Washington think tank, And he was talking about the so-called culture wars, saying basically that we've lost. We've already lost the war. I mean, we're not in the majority anymore. There's no silent majority supporting the conservative traditional values. And he said, this leader, Paul Weyrich, is his name, the culture we're living in becomes an ever wider sewer. In truth, I think that we're caught up in a cultural collapse of historic proportions, a collapse so great that it simply overwhelms politics. He said later, I don't have all the answers or even all the questions, but I know that what we have been doing for 30 years hasn't worked, that while we have been fighting and winning in politics, our culture has decayed into something approaching barbarism. And again, to see just how devastating this cultural collapse has been, just look at the central hot button issues of today. Look at what we're debating about. When you just look at the topics that are up for debate, it shows you how far down we've gone. The prophet Isaiah, he described the United States of America today, and the UK as well, as being sick from head to toe. That's in Isaiah 1. And it says later on in that same book, the look on their faces testifies against them. I mean, just the look on our faces says a lot. Oh, there's a form of godliness on the outside, like the Apostle Paul wrote, but all you have to do is scratch a little bit beneath the surface, and you see all the unhappiness and the misery and the suffering that comes as a result of broken families and marriages, upside down families. It's like it's carved into our faces. Isaiah 3 and verse 9 says, they parade their sin like Sodom. They don't hide it. It's right out in the open. It's right out there for all the world to see. And you go back, whether it's to that statement in 1999, or you go back further than that. I mean, you can see, it used to be that even the main news sources were warning against what's happening today. Time Magazine, here's an example. This is from 1970. Time Magazine, think of it. Time Magazine said this in 1970. The crisis in the family has implications that extend far beyond the walls of home. It says, no society has ever survived after its family life deteriorated. That's what Time Magazine warned in 1970. Now that's less than 50 years ago. What would Time Magazine be saying today? Time Magazine would be celebrating LGBT rights. Time Magazine would be out at the forefront of the destruction of the traditional family. That was Time Magazine from 1970, of course, as you well know. And again, Richard brought this out quite well yesterday when talking about the prophecy of the Daniel 2 image and the 10 toes and the 2 legs and the Eastern and Western European blocks. But the same is true with respect to this subject, the moral breakdown. Herbert Armstrong was well ahead of his time. He was talking about it in the 50s and the 60s. He was warning about it even before Time Magazine got around to it in 1970. Mr. Armstrong said, this is from 1985. This is just one of many, but you can go back to God Speaks Out on the New Morality from the 1960s. Of course, the missing dimension in sex. But Mr. Armstrong wrote in 1985, the very foundation of any stable civilization is a solid family structure. And he said later, nothing in this material world is as important as a happy home life with father, mother, and well-taught, happy children, a close-knit family. See, but now, I mean, today, 2017, Well, you can't even be sure there are ladies or there are gentlemen or that there is a father or there is a mother. It's all got to be gender neutral, I guess. Well, this is where we are, just as is described in Romans 1 and elsewhere. I mentioned Isaiah 1, Isaiah 3. But this is a sobering passage here in Romans, the book of Romans. Paul said in verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened." Senseless minds. It's just like Joel Hilliker said there at the start of his trumpet brief. All you need to do to embrace all of these new causes is to abandon all sense. There's no sense. There's just senseless reasoning. God prophesied of this through the Apostle Paul right here in Romans 1. It says in verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also," it says, "gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." See, it all has such a beautiful form of godliness, Paul said. But you don't have to scratch very, very far beneath the surface to see that there's just ugliness through and through. Sickness, disease, uncleanness. The Bible says in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to man. I mean, it seems right, all these causes, all these new hot button issues that we've got to gain equality. Everybody's got to have an equal right. Everybody's got to have the same rights, the same handouts, the same access to whatever the cause is. Verse 25 says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator." Well, Paul goes on and talks about how that God just gave us up over to all of these vile affections because we're glorifying materialism rather than the great Creator God. It's pretty explicit language in Romans 1 here, pretty direct, about men leaving the natural use of women, verse 27, burning in their lust one for another. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, it says, to do those things which are not convenient, or to do those things that are void of judgment and understanding, common sense. He lists them all out, Paul does, verses 29 through 31. You can, again, study some of this later, the kinds of wickedness and murder and debate, deceit, envy, strife, hatred for God and God's laws, and then all the vanity, the pride, the boasting, family breakdown. He says disobedient to parents there. I mean, that's human nature as it was in the first century, and it's human nature as it is today, only it's worse because, like 2 Timothy 3 says, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And because Satan has been cast down to this earth, it's worse and many times over just since 1986. Who can deny this? Verse 32 says, "Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They approve of those who practice these kinds of things." That's what the Revised Standard Version says. See, those who consent to the wrongdoing, they're just as guilty as those out there committing these acts. That's what God says. And that's why we not only should stand up, we have an obligation to. God is warning this world. God is warning our nations in particular. Jesus said it would be just like in the days of Noah leading up to the flood, or Sodom and Gomorrah. I won't take the time to read all of those verses, or from Peter's epistle where he talked about the universal destruction that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah for all of their sins. God is trying to wake us up. And I mean, right now he's allowing mankind to continue on along this wretched course to learn first by aversion therapy, as Mr. Armstrong often said. But of course, the correction is coming soon as well. God's trying to get our attention. Again, you can, as Mr. Hilliker said in his brief, I mean, you can just kind of laugh it off and say, well, this is so comical. I mean, how ridiculous. But it's also important for us to understand where this is leading. It's also important for us to understand what it's leading into. There is a solution coming. These problems are going to be fixed. We can thank God for that. We can thank God for His righteous government, His soon coming kingdom. We can thank God for the return of His Son to this earth and His coming reign, His rule over all the nations and kingdoms of this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday on this program, Richard Palmer did an excellent job of just showing how those nations in Eastern Europe are looking to America for support, for strength, for power, and that they'll continue with this until they turn to Western Europe. And then you have the two legs of that Roman Empire coming together, just as is prophesied. And so we know that eventually it's America who will be like the UK on the outside looking in. There was an article in Slate titled, Who Needs the U.S.? The G19 might be here to stay. The article says last week's G20, you heard all about that in the news last week, the G20 meeting in Hamburg ended with a pledge from what's being called the G19. That is the group of 20 major world economies minus the United States. Further on, Slate says the nickname may stick. The summit seemed to indicate that other world powers are determined to unite against the Trump administration's erratic isolationism. But there's still enough evidence to suggest that globalization and multilateralism aren't dead as international trends. Those principles are just proceeding without the country that used to be their staunchest defender. It's far from clear what a G19 world would look like, but last week in Hamburg, we saw it starting to form. And so we see more and more signs. With each trip that the United States or that the Trump administration makes into Europe. And we've talked, of course, about this oncoming trade alliance between China and Germany, or Asia and Europe. This global alliance, in fact, this global alliance that's put together in opposition to the United States. There's another article I have here about China's reach into Latin America. And we've wrote about this before at thetrumpet.com, but I just thought this one in particular gave some pretty alarming statistics of what's happened just in the last 5 to 10 years. China, that is, expanding its presence, increasing its trade into and out of Latin America. This article from Latin America Goes Global, it says here, earlier on, it says, in 7 Latin American countries, China has surpassed the United States as the main destination for exports. China's passing the United States, not in 1 or 2, but in 7. It says, and in 5 of those countries, Brazil, Chile, Cuba, Peru, and Uruguay, China's now the largest export market. This is a drastic and rapid shift in the region's economic landscape. And here's where it ties in the dates of what's happened just in the past 10 years or so. It says in 2005, no Latin American country counted China as its main export partner. In 2005, not one of them. It says, in all, China is in the top 5 export markets for 12 Latin American countries compared to 6 in 2005. And it goes on and talks about how America's decision to, well, for example, to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Donald Trump's, all of his protectionist policies, the door is opening. It has swung open for China and other powers to fill the void left by the United States. It's like I covered the other day, it's leading to the Mart of Nations coming together against the United States as the U.S. turns inward and begins to deal with its own problems, and those problems are mounting. CNS News reported, I think yesterday, that the United States, in the month of June, federal spending topped $400 billion for the first time ever in the U.S. Even when you adjust all kinds of previous years for inflation, this was June. This is last month. $428 billion in spending. It says prior to June, the record for federal spending in a single month was from March 2017. These are the last months of the Obama years. $392 billion spent last March. And the Trump administration, I mean, it topped that by, well, almost $30 billion. The Treasury was spending a record $428 billion in June, as it was taking in approximately $338 billion in taxes. So just about $90 billion short in 1 month, in 1 month's time. This is coming from a so-called conservative administration. You talk about lack of sustainability. It's going to come crashing down. And soon, we've said so much on this over the years. Tim Thompson, back in the 1990s, Robert Morley more recently. How much longer can the United States go on with this kind of reckless spending? And, of course, when you hear about all the policies that the current administration wants to put through, I mean, it's just spend, spend, spend. There's no difference between the political parties. Not on this. Not on spending. One last piece that someone submitted to me this morning. This year, about a new study that proves that giving or serving actually makes you happier. It says here from Seeker.com, what inspires humans to display acts of generosity? Economists, psychologists, and philosophers have pondered this question for millennia. The real answer, a study suggested Tuesday, may be much simpler. Giving makes you happy. Scientists conducted an experiment with 50 people in a lab in Zurich, and they reported on their own happiness levels after acts of generosity. It says here, consistently, they indicated that giving was a feel-good experience. At the same time, MRI scans revealed that an area of the brain linked to generosity triggered a response in another part related to happiness. So even there's some physiological changes. They're basically, like so many of these studies do, they're going through all of this time and effort and no doubt funding to prove something that's revealed in the Holy Bible, verse after verse after verse. Herbert Armstrong, he said back in 1981, happiness is a funny thing, or is it? The more you give, the more you have. The more you give, the more happiness you'll have. The happier you'll be. He made that statement, of course, because of verses like Acts 20 and verse 32, where Paul said, to give is happier than to get. Or the King James says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you're giving, you're going to be happier. Now, so what does it mean? Of course, again, this is a kind of a common sense point, but there's not that much of that today. But what does it mean then if you're so unhappy and miserable? What are you lacking? What are you not doing? If you have no happiness, it means that you're not giving, you're not serving, you're not sharing. The more you give, the happier you will be. Luke 6 and verse 38, let me read this. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. It says, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, the more you give, the more you'll have. Proverbs 11, it says, one gives away and still he grows the richer. Another keeps what he should give and is the poorer. It's a law we're talking about. It's a law, and you don't need a study. You don't need a study from some university somewhere to prove this out. All you need to do is to practice it, and you'll see right away that it works. And it's why God, over and again in the scriptures, says, look, just give and give and give and give cheerfully. Be happy to give. God loves a cheerful giver, it says in 2 Corinthians. He really does. He loves it. Let me just read to you a couple of verses. It's 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. It says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. If you look at that word, bountifulness, in the margin, it says liberality. And what Paul is saying is that if we give liberally, if we liberally dispense with acts of kindness and generosity, then God will give back to us in the same way. Again, this is a law. And this is why, if, and my father's brought this out before in his writings, but if you're lacking joy, if you're unhappy and miserable and discouraged, here is the reason. It's because we're not giving the way that we should be. Just by this simple act of giving, you're actually fulfilling God's law of love. This law of love is set in motion, and everyone benefits. What we're talking about here really is the solution to all the problems of this world. I mean, this way of life is coming. The way of godly love, the way of unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others, as Herbert Armstrong often defined it as. He went right around the world preaching this message, even to kings and prime ministers. This is the way, of course, this is the way that we in God's church, in God's family, this is the way we live. This is the way of life we practice, the way of give. And the more we do it, the happier we will be. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us with some positive feedback or negative. We can take both. td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
The Trumpet Daily.
We've gotten a few emails that have come in response to the Trumpet Brief, and also just some general reaction to these programs. This first one here comments on Raising the Ruins. This listener had gone through that a while back, and he writes here, "I found it both gut-wrenching and astounding to learn that to learn what went on at headquarters and among the ministers and the members in the late 80s and early 1990s, what went on to destroy God's work through Herbert W. Armstrong." He says here, "Thankfully, in 1991, my mother encouraged me to read Mystery of the Ages and The United States and Britain in Prophecy, which both blew my mind." It says here, "I grew up in the WCG from age one. It was in the early 1990s that I drifted out of the Worldwide Church of God. Anyway, I'm the least likely person to have been called into God's PCG work. But here I am listening to you and your father and other God-inspired messages on KPCG daily. Keep up the excellent work of warning in this dark and sick and dying world." Another one here comes in from Oklahoma. This in response to the show, I believe on Wednesday, maybe Tuesday. I went through that example with King David and just the courage that he had and just the toughness physically, mentally, spiritually. And this listener took note of something else that's recorded there in the scriptures. It says, it struck me as pretty amazing that in the scriptures in 1 Samuel 17, it mentions that David left the flocks with a keeper, and he also left the carriage with a keeper. It shows that he had a sense of responsibility for the things of his father. He didn't just abandon the sheep in the field and the carriage on the road to do this much more important duty. He made sure all of his responsibilities were taken care of. Just one more piece of evidence pointing to the unusual character of this young man. She says here, I know that wasn't your point, but it did jump out at me when you were reading the scriptures. Really inspiring. Thanks and have a great day. That in response to the program from the other day. Again, what a remarkable young man David was. So responsible, so zealous, hardworking, courageous, and bold. You can see why that man became a man after God's own heart. He developed the heart of God. Another one came in from Massachusetts in response to the program Andrew Locher had last Friday, I believe it was. And she says here, all the programs are so inspiring, but I wanted to say that it was so great to have Andrew Locher fill in as a substitute. It was really nice to hear his style of presentation again. The program was so interesting, absolutely packed with information and details that helped to support his message and paint a very clear picture of the point being covered. It helped me to plan practically for ways of thinking and talking about some of the problems that we're facing. It says later, more importantly, it was particularly wonderful to hear so many detailed updates about the work. It will help to enrich our prayers. Of course, he talked about at length the upcoming public appearance campaign, the public lectures that my father's going to be giving in Chicago on Sunday night and on Monday night. That's coming up here just in a couple of days. But going back to this email from Massachusetts, she says here, while I'm writing, I'd like to add one more point that I have not written about yet or heard from others who've commented. It says, God clearly orchestrates all aspects of his programming. I always think about how the music that is chosen proves that out. Whether it is a song, sounds, or tunes used as segues within a program, or background sounds and music for shows and advertisements, it says, they all seem to be handpicked for exactly the point at hand. I can feel my spirits being lifted, strengthened, touched, made somber, or otherwise captivated, all according to the exact purpose of that program. It makes a huge difference in my ability to process the content and to apply it. I don't know how many people may be responsible for this or how it is done, but I'm very appreciative for this aspect of the work. You all make such a difference. Thank you all for your daily efforts. That's some feedback coming in from a listener in Massachusetts. This came in response to Joel Hilliker's trumpet brief from a week ago. Does the West have the will to survive? And this reader writes, what is alarming is that President Trump and the U.S., as well as the British leadership, are totally oblivious to the threat that the King of the North and the King of the South pose to the peace of the world. In addition, President Trump is oblivious to the Psalm 83 alliance that is emerging now. Another one here. This comes from Texas in response to that same brief. I think it's a dangerous position to be in, to ignore Bible prophecy, whether it's ignorantly or willingly. It's a bit frightening to see others in the world start to recognize our dire situation. Now more than ever, the West and the world, for that matter, needs to realize that it is the God of this world who would like to bring us all to emptiness and void. It says, but in seeing this lack of knowledge from Israel, this also should bring us great hope, because it's more fulfilled prophecy. Another great trumpet brief. Thank you. That one, as I said, came from Texas. And then there were several. I mentioned the listener that wrote in after Andrew Locher's program last Friday. Quite a few responded to his trumpet brief from that same day, July 7th, last Friday. This one here says, "Incredibly powerful brief. Thank you for this and looking forward to hearing about the success of the campaign." That's from Central Florida. And then another one here in response to Mr. Locher's brief says, "Excellent comment on Chicago being a microcosm of the United States. It reminded me of a statement I heard about war and that it's just really a concentration of the killing and hate that goes on every day, all the time, over a larger territory, the world. Also, I do not know if you purposefully close this brief with the statement that we could give it our best shot, but if so, I would have to state that your entire article was right on target." So that's someone who appreciated the language used in that particular trumpet brief. Another one writes, "This is such an awesome time to be alive. Thank you, Mr. Locher. Please know our prayers will definitely be soaring above for the huge success of Mr. Fleury's public appearance campaign." Another one here says, "Thank you so much for this brief. My family and I are attending Mr. Fleury's speeches in the Chicago area. It says, we're so excited and honored to hear God's word. So blessed God has allowed it to happen in our hometown." So that comes from one of our listeners, one of our readers in the Chicago area who will be attending that campaign on Sunday night. Another one here comes from St. Louis. It says, "God is opening up these incredible opportunities to proclaim Christ's message throughout the world on a larger scale. Thanks to the dedication of all involved, his truth of glorious hope will be going out to everyone who seeks to know it. And this world certainly does need the hope that only God can provide." It says here, "I'm thrilled beyond measure to have the blessed privilege to be a part of the greatest gift to all mankind. There are not enough words to express the joy that this brings to me. Thank you all for your continued efforts." Another one here came in from New Zealand. It says here, "Thank you so much for the contrasting message. I had to double check what I was reading in regard to the violence and murder numbers happening in Chicago on the July 4th weekend. It's so appalling and tragic what is transpiring in Chicago. But how blessed they are to have Mr. Fleury visiting and giving two public Bible lectures to the people looking for answers and hope in this collapsing world. I will most certainly be praying for the success of the campaign and the people attending, that they'll respond to our Father's loving message of warning, but also to the imminent return of Jesus Christ, and that they apply the precious truth that they hear. Thank you for the priceless work that you are all doing." These trumpet briefs, it says here, are so potent. That from New Zealand. Another one here, a negative response, says, "Chicago's always been a rough place. No need to make a big fuss out of it now." Never mind Chicago. Never mind any other city, I guess. Never mind any nation. Never mind any other war. I mean, the world's always been a pretty rough place. And so just let it continue. Well, that's the kind of thinking you see in this world. It's all too common, sadly. This one here from Georgia says, "This was an excellent trumpet brief. It was particularly enlightening to get more background information on the TV program. We are super excited about the resumption of the public appearance campaigns. We remember attending one in New Jersey many years ago and helping with registration. It was such a thrill to meet the subscribers, and I think we had a few who began attending from that as well. We hope this is the beginning of many more PACs across America and even overseas. We hope to hear from you more on the Trumpet Daily." That's from Georgia, again, in response to that program that Andrew Locher had last Friday, together with the trumpet brief that he sent out. This one here comes in response to the trumpet brief from a couple of days ago in praise of Germany. I forget who wrote this. Maybe it's in one of the comments that came back. It says, "Excellent brief on Germany's response to recent violence. It was very even-handed if in not placing the blame for the chaos and the sin on just one group. And you showed where there is some strength left, mainly in Germany. I think this was in response to the brief that Richard Palmer did on Tuesday. Another comment says, very insightful. And then another reader says, scary but true. Please keep up with the truth. And then finally, it says, brilliant piece by Richard Palmer, lucid and prescient. Thank you for sharing it. And then one last one here, in response to the myth that Europe is progressive. I believe this was not yesterday's, but the day before, Brad McDonald's. It says here, thank you for truth and explanation of prophecy in today's news. How blessed we are to have God's view and to know that he will soon restore his government to this rebellious and war-weary world. And then one last one says, I love your newsletter, and I'm a longtime subscriber to the monthly print magazine, the Philadelphia Trumpet. I believe you are all doing a great job in this decaying world and must continue in this endeavor. So if you'd like to send in some feedback or comments, you can either respond to those Trumpet briefs directly if you receive them into your inbox, or you can email us directly at td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all through this week, and we'll see you next week.